Well, what I want you to do is imagine that I'm in the center of a ring that would be like for a boxing match. And I'm getting ready to introduce the fighters today. So I'm pulling down, you've seen that before, where the guy in the center, the announcer, pulls down the mic and starts with this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. It's the greatest matchup since time began. It's bigger than Ali versus Frazier. It's bigger than King Kong versus Godzilla. Yes, it's even bigger than Homer Simpson versus Marge. Let me introduce today's contenders. In this corner, wearing the red trunks and weighing in at 224 pounds, with a record of 48-7, is, and get ready to cheer, Belief! And in this corner, wearing the blue trunks and weighing in at 245 pounds, with a record of 42-13, it's Unbelief! Boo! Good job. No rehearsal or anything. Well, you know, if I'd have been thinking, I should have probably skipped us passing the offering plate or having it back there today and just done this sermon as a pay-per-view event. Well, we're not in Las Vegas, are we? But if you've lived anywhere in the world, at any time in history, you already know about this fight. It's the match between belief and unbelief, and it's been going on since the Garden of Eden. As some of you are fighting in the ring right now. And I wonder, what round are you in? And my question is, would you like to defeat unbelief and raise your glove in victory before you leave here today? Well, let's talk about your opponent, unbelief. We find him mentioned in our next verses as we're going through the book of Mark. Now we're starting with chapter 6, and we're going to use verse 1 through 6 as our teaching today. Mark 6, 1 through 6. So let's read the scripture first. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? And then they scoffed. Well, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told them, you know, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and even his own family. And because of their unbelief, catch this in verse 5, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And then it says, and he was amazed at their unbelief. And it's those last two verses that I want to highlight for today's teaching. But I was caught by the word amazed in the six verses that we read. The people in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, when they saw the miracles that Jesus performed and they heard him teach and the wisdom he had, they were amazed. And yet they chose not to believe in him. And then the sixth verse ends with, and now Jesus is amazed at their unbelief. Well, let me try to bring some teaching out of this belief versus unbelief. My first observation in reading what we just read is that unbelief limits God's work. Unbelief limits God's work. It did there, it will now. The unbelief of the people of his hometown prevented miracles from happening. And so with the exception of a few sick people, everyone else stayed sick. It was because of their unbelief that individuals and then even the entire community was negatively affected. Just imagine the positive effect that could have happened in that town with those people if they had just believed. And then I wonder this, what about our country? What about our state of Indiana? What about our community that we live in? Are we missing out on the miracles of Jesus because so many have unbelief? The miracle power of Jesus was in their midst, those people in Nazareth. He was talking to them. He was eating with them. He was teaching them. And they recognized, that's what gets me, they recognized his miracle working power and his wisdom. But because he was from a very small town, and because he was a son of Mr. and Mrs. Nobody, and because he didn't have a college degree, and whatever else, the people chose, catch that, they chose not to believe. They had every reason to believe, but they decided not to. Even though they saw his miracles and heard his wisdom, they chose not to believe. And because they didn't believe, they didn't receive. So I want you to remember that phrase. Take it home with you. Put it in a to-go sack. As we're sharing this meal of a message, take this one home. If you don't believe, you don't receive. And I think a lot of us want to receive, and something's holding it back. And it may be, there could be lots of other reasons. God's got his own ways of doing things. But it may be that we have unbelief. They missed out on untold wisdom, that town of Nazareth. Untold wisdom and miracles. So in Nazareth that day, in the story that we're reading here, unbelief defeated belief. I want to share some other things the Bible talks about regarding unbelief. In fact, the next verse I have is Mark 16:14. And it'll be a verse that we'll come to in the weeks to come. And so there'll be more teaching on this and maybe another lesson on unbelief. I don't know what the Lord will lead, but just listen to this. This will come several weeks later. This is pretty much the end, toward the end of the book of Mark. But this is where Jesus rebukes unbelief. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. Now we may, the verse that we read earlier, we may have wanted to give up on the folks on Nazareth and give them a hard time for their unbelief. But did you catch who Jesus is talking to in this verse later in Mark? He's talking to his disciples. You know, Jesus had been telling them that he was going to die, that he would rise again, and that he would walk the earth. And they, when they actually heard that it had happened, when they had heard people say, hey, Jesus is alive, he's walking around, they didn't believe it. And so Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. And I guess what gets me is that they had been with him for over 3 years and been with him 24/7. Unlike some people, the disciples, they hung out with him every day. They traveled with him every day. They listened to all of his messages. They saw all of his miracles. They slept overnight in the same area. They had all their meals together. And yet they didn't believe. Unbelief wins again. The disciples are down for the count, you might say. So what's the point for us? Maybe one of the points is don't be so hard on yourself if you struggle to believe. At the same time, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, don't be surprised when Jesus rebukes you and me for unbelief. You see, God wants believers to believe. God wants believers to believe. I thought of this. To be an unbelieving believer, which is what some of these people seem to be, is like an oxymoron. And I think we know what an oxymoron is. It's when two things are contrasted in opposites. For instance, the one that's usually shared is jumbo shrimp. How can something be giant small? Oxymoron. How can a believer be unbelieving? Here's another point to bring out for this morning. I have a question. Where does unbelief come from? Where does it come from? And I've got a verse in 1 Timothy 1:13 that I think helps answer some of the question. 1:13 in Timothy, 1 Timothy says that maybe belief comes from ignorance. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying that he used to blaspheme the name of Christ. But then here's what he says. In my insolence, my arrogance, my hard-headedness, in my insolence, I persecuted people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Ignorance and unbelief. Now here's the good news. Ignorance can be corrected. And generally, it's just information overcomes ignorance. I am 65 years old, and for 65 plus years, I believed I did not like Thai food. Okay? And a couple years ago, and I've never had Thai food, never tasted it, never smelled it, never been to a Thai restaurant, but I believed I did not like Thai food. Well, a couple years ago, a couple from the Kenner Church suggested a place in Greenfield, a restaurant called Zap Thai. And it's in a small strip mall area. It looks very common on the outside, nothing special. It's right next to a Starbucks and I think Jimmy John's maybe, yeah. So it wasn't even impressive to look at from the outside. But anyhow, they told us how good it was. Well, for months and months, well, a year and a half probably, even though I had been told how good the place was, how good Thai food was, I believed I didn't like it, so I didn't go. Well, I must have had a brain freeze of some type. We were heading to Greenfield, and I said, well, we try that Thai restaurant. And sure enough, we pull in there, and we walk into this very nondescript mall, but we walk in and it's a very nice restaurant. It's very well decorated. And then we sit there and looked at the menu and didn't understand anything and had the server explain what the different items were and how they were made. Then comes the food. Well, I can tell you, with the information that my taste buds got that day, I became a believer in Thai food instantly. Now it's one of my favorite things to eat. But I was an unbeliever for 65 years. It took new information before I could actually become a believer. Well, let's put this into Bible terms because I'm getting hungry just talking about that. You see, the Bible is a great resource for information that leads to reversing ignorance. If we have unbelief, start reading the Bible, or start reading the Bible more. And it's a process. Maybe you have some belief, but you don't have complete belief. So there's still areas of unbelief. Keep reading the Bible. Take that information in. It'll help lead you to belief. The other thing, just like we do virtually every Sunday, is we have the open time for testimonies. And when people tell their story of how God has affected them or someone in their life, that information generates more belief on our part. And maybe another thing, attending a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church goes a long way to bringing about belief. Because it's the information that we get. Here's another point to make. Not believing or unbelief has consequences. Unbelief has consequences. Hebrews 3:19 is what we're going to read next. And it's a New Testament verse that's going to refer to an Old Testament situation. The verse in Hebrews says, So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter into his rest. Because of their unbelief, they weren't able to enter into his rest. Whose unbelief and whose rest? This refers to the Israelites. God had brought them out of the Egyptian slavery. They saw God's miracle-working power as he opened the Red Sea and they crossed on dry land to the other side. And then they saw the Red Sea pour over the Egyptian army, defeating their enemies. They saw God give them provision and protection as God led them to the promised land. And that land was a land of milk and honey, is the way God described it to the people. That sounds pretty good. Well, when they saw the land of milk and honey, they also saw the giants who were living in that land. They were occupying it. And instead of believing God's promise of the land, their unbelief, because of the obstacles, the giants, it kept them from experiencing or entering Canaan for a long time, like 40 years. And Canaan would have been a place where they could have found rest. The promised land would have provided rest of every kind that a person could experience. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, even financial rest. Because Canaan had already been prepared for them. God was going to help them get the giants out of Canaan. And once that was done, they would have homes they didn't build. Vineyards they didn't plant, wells they didn't dig. Financially, they were set because of what God would have already provided. Now, how does that relate to us? Well, unbelief causes us to not have rest sometimes. But belief can cause us to have rest, even in the midst of trials and struggles. Our belief, one verse that comes to my mind is the verse in the Bible that talks about that God can provide a peace that we can't even understand. Sometimes we hear it said in the King James, a peace that passeth understanding, human understanding, a peace that is so wonderful it cannot be explained no matter how big a thesaurus we have. Here's another point. We can overcome unbelief. So that's some good news. Mark 9:24, and again, we'll get to this in just a few weeks. So God may have us repeat some of this again. Maybe a different message, yet on the same subject of belief versus unbelief. But Mark 24, there's a father that it comes to Jesus. And again, we'll get into all this when we get to that point. But a father is in a situation. He comes to Jesus and it says, he instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. There's a measure of belief. Maybe it's 50%, maybe it's 75% or 95%, but there's some unbelief. And so, Lord, would you help me with that part? I don't need help with the belief part. I got that, but I need help with the unbelief part. There's something I still don't quite understand. Well, again, in the weeks to come, we'll get to the story behind that father's statement. But suffice it to say, here's the point. We can ask God for help. If you're having trouble believing the Bible, or maybe everything in the Bible, then just ask God for help. Tell him, I'm having trouble believing this. He will help you. If you're having trouble even believing in the one true God, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, tell God. He will help. He will help us overcome our unbelief. Just ask. And here's the very last point I'll bring out regarding belief versus unbelief. We can turn from unbelief. We can turn from unbelief. Romans 11:23 is what Paul was writing to the Romans. And again, this was referring back to the Israelites. It says, and if the people of Israel will turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. Sounds like they were grafted in once, or they were part of the tree once. Now they can be grafted in again, for God has the power to graft them back into the tree. And again, the point here that I wanted to make is that we are able to turn, or the Bible uses the term repent often in the Gospels. We are able to turn or repent from unbelief to belief. It's a choice. And God will gladly reattach what was broken off. So here, I'm going to finish up here in the next seconds. You're about to leave this safe place here of belief, hopefully, and go back into life's battles again. And I wonder who will win the next fight of belief versus unbelief. Just know that I'm praying for you. I'm cheering you on. I'm telling you, go ahead and hit unbelief with a right hook. Then a left jab. Knock him out in the first round the next time you come up against him. And if you have Jesus as your personal Savior, belief can come out on top every time. So just remember that as we sing our closing song.
Jesus' name above all names.
Jesus' name above all names. Okay.